Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are, welcome, Ewan Spence, you're calling you from the Shangri-La of sunny Scotland. Rafe, it's sunny.
It's sunny in Scotland. Well, that seems a little bit of a turn up the book. Yes, I'm down in Sussex and it's raining.
Yes, Rafe Blanford with the rain, with the R, Ewan Spence with the sun, with the S. Neither of us, though, with the 8S. It's just the 8X today. Do you like that link, Rafe?
Oh, very, very clever. Yeah, yeah. We'll be getting on to the 8X later because I think it probably hasn't had enough comment around it, and it's a very nice handset. I think it's a bit underrated, actually, but we'll get back to that later.
Indeed, yes. There is lots to be going on with. Rafe, you and I, of course, before this, should realise that we do kind of put the notes together. What do we want to talk about? And Rafe has just said, I've got a big list of stuff for you, Ewan, so throw to me first, and I will talk to you. So, Rafe, what, just before we start this section, what's your record for four questions in duration of answer?
Probably half an hour or so. I'm not sure you're going to quite manage that.
I don't think I am either. I'm not even going to give it a go. Let's rattle through these, and just the facts.
But this is Ewan's specialist topic. We haven't talked about games or gaming.
Oh, is it Eurovision?
No, it's not Eurovision. I'm sorry, Ewan. It's about games. Ewan is usually the one that writes our weekly Xbox Live review, and he's had a couple of X reviews to be writing recently. So I thought we'd talk a bit about this on the podcast before getting on to some other topics. Let's start out with the fact that Nokia have been kind of rolling out their EA exclusive games, and these are all Xbox Live titles, quite rapidly. The latest two of these are Trivial Pursuit and Spy Mouse, but there's been a couple before this as well, haven't there, Ewan?
Indeed, yes. Last weekend we had Parking Mania, delightful report. We had the Game of Life based on the board game, and we had Jet Set Go, which does sound like a music video from an up-and-coming American indie band, but there you go. Look, let's start off with these. Yes, they are exclusive. Yes, it means that HTC owners, Samsung owners can't get a hold of them. This is how Nokia makes a differentiation. They go, look, there are handsets that are roughly on a par with ours that are roughly the same cost, but we give you more than the handset, and this is what they have here. And yes, they've signed the deal with EA, which means that they probably have a lot of applications to get through, and some of which they don't really kind of work on the phone. Game of Life, brilliantly coded, not that much of a game. But, you know, the smart thing that Nokia have done here is they've kind of backstopped these until the launch of the Lumia 920, 820, 822, 810, whatever numbers we're going with today. And just basically people went, oh, there's a Lumia out there, it's a Nokia. And then Nokia went, oh, we have this. And we have this, and you can play this game, and you can play this game, and you can play this game, and you can play this game. And it just creates this little bit of momentum in the market of Nokia are doing more. Nokia are supporting the platform more. Now, it's not much. It's a deal that was signed a year ago with, I think, about 20-odd titles in there. A lot of these have obviously been held because they still have the old Xbox branding, the white stripe along the top of the game icon and not the green icon. So these haven't even been recoded with the new UI standards and rules that have come through. So they've been sitting there waiting a while. It's been a tactical choice by Nokia to wait and try and just sort of almost like the old-fashioned time on target if you're doing artillery firing. You know, get something in, bang, 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 and just try and push the handset forward. And I think it's a valid strategy, but not all of these games are up to carrying that load.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I mean, they're clearly trying to build a bit of momentum behind this Windows Phone 8 launch. It's curious, we haven't really seen much mention of these games kind of in the adverts or in the kind of the wider media around, you know, Nokia's activities. They have mentioned a couple of them on their sort of their web pages, Angry Birds, for example, which isn't exclusive, I should say, you know, kind of got more promotion around these games. But, you know, there's some frustration, I think, from existing users on, you know, HTC Samsung devices. We should say that at least some of these will come out of the exclusive period probably in about 6 months' time and then be more generally available. But I think the difference it makes is it just bulks up the number of games, you know, appearing for the platform. And if people are searching for particular brands or something like that, they're more likely to find them. And as you had said, there's about 20 or 30 of these titles for Nokia to work through with EA, and they're all coming as a regular Xbox Live title, so they have a trial, they have achievements built in. And it's kind of a nice addendum to the, you know, weekly release from Microsoft. But I've had a look at a couple of these trials of these games, and none of them have actually made me go and buy it, the full version, because as Simon says, some of them are not, I wouldn't say they're bad games, but you know, not particularly strong titles, which probably gives you an idea why they haven't made their way, you know, or been ported beforehand, because the commercial imperative is clearly coming from Nokia money that is, you know, paying for these to be ported across, which, you know, it kind of takes away a little bit from, you know, the fun of having these extra titles available.
Like, that's not fair, Riff. There are some here that are actually worth it. Parking Mania even impressed our Steve Litchfield.
Yes, so, it got the highest score, I think, out of these games. Like, it certainly impressed you more than Game of Life, I think.
Steve scores high. Actually, no, that's not fair. I score very low. You know, if I have a game that's about 60, Steve will have that in the low 80s. But to be honest, I probably would have given Parking Mania between 78 and 82.
Okay,
so it still would have been a relatively high score. Spy Mouse, which is the one that came out this morning as we recorded this. This is the one that I think, out of the five that we've seen over this short period, is the one that I'm enjoying the most. And I've already bought it. There we go. It's from the guys that did Flight Control, Fireman. And basically, you're a mouse. You have to go get the cheese and get to the mouse hole before the cat catches you. No, cat. Yeah, we'll get that right in the edit, maybe. You just draw a line like you did in Flight Control. Draw the line where the mouse goes, the mouse will go. Of course, the difference here is it doesn't fall out the sky. And when it gets to the end line, it stops. So it's arcade, it's tactic, it's stealth, it's action. And it's really well put together. It's coming in at $229 UK, $299 US. As we've said, it is a trial version. My recommendation out of the five would be Spy Mouse, closely followed by Parking Mania. Although, to be fair, Parking Mania has had a huge amount of support and releases on other mobile platforms as well. So it's had a bit of a chance to get itself polished in terms of gaming. In terms of the regular Xbox Live releases, they are still going on. Let's not forget that. We talked a huge amount about the Angry Birds franchise last week. Sonic CD came out. We should have a review on that in the next day or two up on the website as well. But again, that's one that's been trailed before. And apart from Angry Birds Star Wars and Angry Birds Space, we've not yet seen what Windows Phone 8 is bringing to the gaming table at the moment. And I think we're going to be another couple of months before we actually see games designed with WPA in mind hitting the Xbox, probably after Christmas. So it will be interesting to see what sort of titles we get in January when people have just picked up the handsets from Christmas, when you're looking forward to the Chinese New Year, and you're getting the titles that can start pushing the envelope on the platform. At the moment, we're getting the last good wave of 7.5 games, I think. So that's where Spy Mouse comes in. That's where Parking Mania comes in.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. And as we're recording this, the latest Xbox Live title has just come out, which is Turn and Run. This is actually another Electronic Arts title. Yeah, just a good example of that, actually, Ewan, is this week's Xbox Live title, which is Turn and Run. It's another EA title, actually, which is only compatible with Windows Phone 7 devices. It is getting a Windows Phone 8 update in due course, according to the developer. But it kind of speaks towards that, you know, a lot of the game releases were geared to the, you know, old platform. We haven't really seen ones yet that take advantage of the new gaming engines, for example. And as you say, it may be a little while before that happens. I mean, this is a case with a lot of the Windows Phone 8 features, actually, and this applies to apps as well. There's not that many apps and games taking advantage of, you know, the extra hardware oomph and some of the new APIs. There are a few, and we'll comment on some of those later. So it's kind of this period where you've got Windows Phone 8, but you're not getting the full advantage of it yet. And that applies particularly, I think, in games, which is an area where I think in time we'll see more differences than anything else.
But to be fair, even though you've got WPA, you've got a huge back catalogue that you can explore. I mean, just looking through, you know, I have a HTC 8X, I can look at Windows Phone 8 now. You know, when you start running older games, something like Infinite Flight, the Flight Simulator title, it's fantastic on them, and it takes account of the higher res screen, and it really shows off the graphics. You've got great Xbox Live titles already in there. You know, stuff like Farm Frenzy, and I know people laugh at that one, but Farm Frenzy is in there as well. Ice Stunt, when you're on your surfboard, that's fantastic on these new devices as well. So people shouldn't think that there's nothing out there gaming-wise to WPA. There is games out there for WPA that will run just as well as they did in WP7. We're talking about that extra 5 or 10% that you can squeeze out of the platform that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, any of the games that sort of aren't maybe if we say graphically rich or intensive, you know, all of those games, of course, work well on Windows Phone and always have done. The sort of the near first gen console type games that we see on some of the other mobile platforms, or even equal to the sort of second generation consoles, I guess, you know, they haven't really arrived on Windows Phone. There are some notable exceptions from Windows Phone 7. But let's just move away from the Xbox titles for a moment, Ewan. One of the kind of the big arrivals with Words with Friends from Zynga. Now, this has been kind of hotly anticipated. It's one of those games that people often mention about as, you know, they want this on their device before they're willing to switch over. So it has now arrived with on Windows Phone, and it's available for both 7 and 8. But I think this is a great example of where porting a game just isn't good enough on its own.
Yeah. Would you like me to do this in the style of The Simpsons or in the style of Dave Lee Travis's Darts on the Radio?
I think you can choose your preference, Ewan.
No. I'm going to leave it to you.
Okay. Let's go for The Simpsons. I think that's a more universally understood cultural reference.
Oh!
There we go. That's the summary. Why is it so, Homer?
Right. Okay. First of all, it's a Windows phone. It looks nothing like a Windows phone app. In fact, it looks exactly like the Android application, and it's been squeezed and shoehorned in. There's a time and place for that. This isn't it. It is slow. You have to get your internet connection up, and you have to pull down all the games and all the Zynga's adverts. And even then, it takes forever to process. And then when you call up the game, it takes forever to load the game. It is laggy. Start moving the tiles around the screen. They don't follow your finger precisely. They'll move around. They'll jitter underneath. And you know, they'll snap to where your fingers are. It just doesn't feel smooth. It looks shocking. I mean, it's like somebody realized that Apple didn't have a patent in corners in software and therefore decided to put a nice round sculpted corner on absolutely everything. It's like somebody has taken Tai Chi tiles with the little symbols on them. I don't mean Tai Chi, I mean something else, but I'm going to carry on, and just pushed it over. You know, you look at this, and I look at this and just look at every single failing in the application, things that you are told not to do, Zynga have done, and really, it's just not right. I feel like Mark Kermode having to watch a trilogy of Transformers films with his eyes wedged open, and he would rather be listening to classical music with Malcolm McDonald in the seat next to him than having to play Words with Friends and Zynga on that. But it's fine, though. It's fine because Nokia have exclusively managed to get an arrangement where you can download it for free and be subjected to more advertising rather than pay for the title. It's great that we can answer the question, does it have Words with Friends? The answer is now, yes, it does. Except the answer has to be extended of, yes, it does. Please don't bother. Go and find Word Feud. Go and find Words by Post. There are far, far better options in there. You will be doing your friends a service if you take them away from this game on Facebook and move them on.
Yeah, I think that I'll agree with everything Ewan said there. Unusually, perhaps.
I'll be at first. So Mark, if you are listening, look, it's a good framework. Just hire coders.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say it's a design language that works. And I will say in its favour, having kind of access to the big playing audience that obviously exists for this game on other platforms, you know, Facebook, Android, iOS, means that you'll almost certainly be challenged to a game within a couple of hours of installing this game and starting it. People will see that you're available. And I found myself playing 6 or 7 games, but it was a frustrating experience because I often had to come out of the game and then go back into it again in order to switch to a different game. That's something in the coding that wasn't very smooth. And, you know, this will give people a bad impression of Windows Phone if they play it. And it's really not fair. It's down to, I think, a poor implementation. Ewan's mentioned a couple of alternative Scrabble games there. Matt Miller actually commented on Ewan's review of this and recommended Alpha Jacks, and I've been giving that a go, and I would agree that's a really great implementation. It's got some nice extras in terms of kind of the point system and levels. So that's available in the Windows Phone Marketplace. There's a free version and there's a paid ad-free version as well. I mean, the way I would describe this, it's a bit like going to a football match in America and being very disappointed when you realise you've turned up a sports game where they're basically playing rugby with pads. Then you get into it, and actually it's quite good, and you rather enjoy it. But then you go back and see a proper implementation of football, and you realise how good Word with Friends could be. We shouldn't be too harsh on it. As Ewan says, it is now available, so if you want to play it, that's great. And it's one of those ones that I think the platform needed. And it's just all the other apps out there that fall into this category, kind of the Instagrams or the Flipboards or whichever one you choose for your or personal one. You know, it's something that Microsoft and its partners have to get there with. One other thing I did want to mention while we're on the subject of games is the Black Friday discounts are available on a number of Xbox Live titles. For those that don't know, this is a discounting period that happens after Thanksgiving in the US, and it's kind of spread into other places as well. But it's a good excuse to get some cheap Xbox Live titles. They're all being reduced down from various prices to €1.99, $1.99, or £1.49. It's Assassin's Creed, Carcassonne, Cracking Sands, Gravity Guy, Mush, and Sonic the Hedgehog 4. I think there's something for everybody there. Probably my pick from all of these would either be Cracking Sands, but I think if I had to choose just one, it would be Mush, because it's come from effectively an indie developer, and it takes a very original approach, and it's, you know, somewhat unique as well. So I would pick out that one. That's actually been reduced down from $4.99, so it's a 60% discount. Ewan, of those games, is there any one that you'd pick out in particular?
Cracking Sands. I mean, it's a strange camera viewpoint for those of you used to sort of comic carts racing games. But it's actually, you know, when you get down to it, because it's just to grab your energy and then choose which of the four pickups you want to do, there's a little bit more strategy to this one. And once you get used to the camera angle and the quite short drawing distance that you have, so you can't see that far in front of you, you've actually got a really good game in there. So that's the one that gets the thumbs up from me.
Okay, so we mentioned earlier that we'd talk about a few Windows Phone 8 specific apps. I think we've got time just to do one, then we're going to move on to the handset. I want to talk about the Skype preview for Windows Phone 8, which basically brings the promise of Skype, as many people will think about, onto Windows Phone. You know, there has been a version for Windows Phone 7, but it's been pretty fundamentally limited in that the app needs to be open for you to do anything useful. With this Windows Phone 8 preview version, it's called a preview because it's not quite finalized yet, and there are definitely some rough edges and missing features in this. You're able to have messages or instant message from chats and calls come in the background, so the application doesn't have to be open. I think the calling functionality is particularly well implemented in that it looks just like a normal incoming call, and obviously it does video as well, so making use of that front-facing camera on all the devices, something that we didn't really have on all the first generation Windows Phone devices. I've been trying this out and actually using it for some live calls. It works very well. There are a few rough edges, as I mentioned. You know, some of the integration isn't quite as deep as I'd like, and it's not always good about notifying you about new chats. The incoming calls has been working fine for me, but I know some people have come across bugs and things like that. And it does have some caveats in it that, for example, if you log in using your Microsoft account, it will merge your Skype and your Windows Live IM contacts together. That's not for everybody. So have a read of our article on the website about this before you actually go ahead and install this, because it's effectively a beta. I mean, it's called a preview release. But some people may want to wait kind of for the final release, because there's definitely a bit more polishing to do. But it's interesting that, you know, it promotes effectively Skype to be the in the same class as an incoming cellular call. Did you have a chance to try this out, Ewan?
Not that one, no, because, you know, Skype for me is very much my soundboard here, and I can't plug my phone into that. But the one, two things did catch my eye in terms of Windows Phone 8 software that I do want to pick up on. And the first one is a bit of a cheat, but I want to mention it anyway, which is the fact that if you're using a dark theme in your Windows Phone 8 application and you go to email, it remains dark, whereas before it was black text and white background, irrespective of what you'd set your theme as. Now, if it's a dark theme, you get the dark background. I got to say that it really makes the email application now feel a part of the system, whereas before it was always just a sort of quite a visual jar just because of the change in the background. Really appreciating that one, even though it's kind of a bit of a cheat on the Windows Phone 8 only applications, but there you go. The other one I do want to pick out, though, is SkyDrive, specifically the SkyDrive client for Windows Phone 8 now. Version 3.0 is the WP8 version. Version 2.2 is still available for 7.x devices. And again, you know, it's just a minor incremental stuff. All the stuff that was there before is still there. Now you've got the ability to search files and folders, which doesn't seem a big change. And it fits in slightly more, so it feels more like Windows Phone 8 as native application. So it looks like it's still running on the device. That's important. Just as it is in email. But that search stuff, that's the one I find really useful, Riff, because the amount of press releases I get in for my favorite subject, they're huge, you know. So dumping them into a SkyDrive folder on my PC, on my Mac or whatever at home, then if I want to find out information about an artist, I can just simply search using the SkyDrive application on my Windows Phone 8 handset and get the press releases coming up. That is something that I'm going to look forward to next week when I have to spend a week in Amsterdam at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Should make life slightly easier rather than carrying around all the files.
Yeah, it's a good example, actually, of how when we talk about the upgrade to Windows Phone 8, there's kind of the inbuilt stuff and there's stuff for SkyDrive there. I think we've already mentioned in a previous podcast, you can do kind of full resolution photos upgraded automatically in the background. Before, that was limited and something you had to install the SkyDrive application for. But also there's kind of backup and restore of settings and applications via SkyDrive. That's now an integral part of Windows Phone 8. But there's kind of lots of these third-party applications or applications from Microsoft that add additional functionality, which effectively becomes part of the Windows Phone 8 story. And we're seeing this also in an updated Facebook application, for example. We're also due to get an updated Twitter application, and there's an updated kind of PDF reader that's directly from Microsoft rather from Adobe. And there's lots of these kind of little ones that, you know, although strictly speaking they're third-party applications, I think have to be included as part of the Windows Phone 8 story. And, you know, part of those are, you know, renewal around the new platform. Part of them are powered by new APIs. And for example, some of the apps that integrate with the lock screen or with the Wallet Hub, you know, they're taking advantage of new APIs. So when you hear people talking about the new features, some of them will only be, you know, fully realized when the third-party applications start making use of them. It's kind of an important distinction to draw. So full circle to what we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, there's almost, you know, there's unfulfilled potential that is, you know, the gaps are gradually being filled in. An example of this is the battery applications that we mentioned, I think, in the last podcast. So let's move on to talk about hardware now. Both Ewan and I have had our hands on the HTC 8X, and we'll start with you, Ewan. What was your overriding impression? And I realize, as I say that, I'm probably almost certainly going to get a response that is not what I want back.
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. I'm a smartphone reviewer. Hey!
Thank you.
There we go. Good old.
So what was the summary of your review? You know, how did this handset make you feel?
Would you like the Simpsons version of the review or the Dave Lee Travis darts on the radio version? Oh, no, well, we can't go this different again, because then we have to mention DLT and then race lawyers would get very upset. Yep. So I found it to be a bit of a hairy cornflake, to be honest.
Cornflake. What's one of those?
You know, our older listeners are now groaning. Do I need to explain that joke there, Rafe, or shall I just go ahead?
I think you're going to have to explain that joke, because I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I mean, I know that happens quite a lot.
Dave Lee Travis's nickname was the Hairy Cornflake. I was doing a comedy callback to Dave Lee Travis, even though I said I wouldn't be doing Dave Lee Travis.
So should I not really be admitting that I haven't got a clue who David Lee Travis is?
Yes. Just let me get on with the review.
Oh, okay, right. Let's talk about the review rather than David Lee Travis then.
David Lee Travis. Right then, the HTC 8X, the signature Windows Phone handset. And I can see why Microsoft are quite happy for this one to carry that name, because it is a stylish piece of kit. Imagine if you took a live tile, put a straw in it, and went... and you'd get the shape of the HTC 8X. Now, the shape is good. It's not perfect. If you put it, for some reason, glass side down... Sorry, Gorilla Glass side down, it's actually quite hard to pick up unless you've got nails or a very good grip. I think for the older smartphone user, if you put the HTC 8X down the wrong way, you'll never be able to pick it up again. So we need to be careful when we send this one over to Steve. When it's the right way up, you've got this lovely sort of, it kind of curves and lifts the edge up so it's right next to the front screen. So it's really easy to pick up when it's put down that way. Unfortunately, Brett's Guide to Mobile Etiquette means that when you're talking to somebody and you want to show that you're being attentive and paying attention, you should always put your phone down face down, which does lead to a problem with the Englishman who's following to Brett's. Face down, can't pick up phone. Face up, it looks like you're not being polite. Well
especially
done,
as this has the attentive phone stuff that HTC are well known for in terms of being able to flip your phone over to silence it. So you can silence it, but then you can't pick it up again.
Exactly, yes. So the Taiwan company just completely destroying whatever hope England has of passing good, polite manners around the rest of the smartphone world. but the design, I mean, there are two bits that I brought up in our joint review that I didn't like about the design. The first one was that charging LED that just sits under the top speaker grill. It just looks cheap. Like, you can see the LED on the circuit board. I would have expected that, you know, behind the lens or something that's just a little bit better. And given that Steve isn't on this podcast, I'll do this one for him. There's no protection to that camera lens. I know it's recessed maybe by about half a millimeter, but it's just left completely and utterly exposed to the elements. It looks like an afterthought in terms of design. It's like they've went up to the designers and went, you know, this lovely phone that you've built, this back you've made here, we need to put a camera lens in it now. Where does it go? And they just went, oh, hold on, let me just punch a hole in the middle. There we go. And he's clocked off. The attention to detail, there are points where it just simply stops. And that's actually quite upsetting for me, Rafe, because HTC have got really, really close with this design.
See, I'm going to disagree with you there on the camera, Ewan, because I think the kind of the minimal design, the central location and lines actually is in keeping with the sleek lines of the handset. There is something to be said about maybe giving it an extra bit of protection, but that itself is a controversial area. I mean, I have a couple of issues with the handset as well, but first of all, I just want to give HTC praise for creating, you know, a shape and the design that I think is really gorgeous. It's their best ever as far as I'm concerned, and really right up there in terms of some of the best smartphone designs I've seen. I would suggest that almost too much emphasis has been placed on the style and the design element and not enough on other areas. But, you know, just talking about the way it fits in your hand, it's kind of the kind of object that you want to pick up and just turn over and almost, you know, stroke as if it was a cat or something like that, to keep with the cat theme we've had in the last couple of podcasts. You know, it really is, you know, a clever bit of design, and it fits in really well. You know, HTC talked about how they sort of drawn on the inspiration of the live tiles, and sometimes, you know, statements like that have to be taken with a pinch of salt, but you can genuinely see the connection here, and it feels like a design that fits in with the rest of the design language. Now, the very thin edges you get on this do mean that the buttons on the side of the device are equally thin, and I don't think they're as easy to press as they perhaps should be. I've commented before with HTC devices, I don't like the lock button and the power button on the top of the device. I'd rather have it on the side of the device. That remains the case here. But actually, more seriously, with something like the camera capture button, because, you know, it's a bit more difficult to press than it should be, you actually end up with quite a lot of blurry photos, and so you're better off using the on-screen touch to, you know, capture a photo. I suspect if HTC had had their way, they would have taken the camera capture button off altogether, but of course it's one of the things that's required by Microsoft. I also kind of have some doubts about how long this will last over 2 years. If you kind of flex the entire device, it's just got a bit of give in it, which is never a good sign. I mean, the build quality is excellent, but compared to kind of the dense Lumia 920, it just has a bit of bend to it, which concerns me slightly. And equally, it's got the soft touch finish, which HTC have used on other devices, and that doesn't always stand up very well. One thing I do want to say before we move on from the design areas, a lot of people have said, you know, that they've kind of copied Nokia. I don't really think it's the case. If you've got both devices in your hands, they, you know, do use the same technology. There is this same kind of 3.5, you know, curved edge to the glass, and it's sort of polycarbonate construction. But of course, you know, devices are going to look similar. There's only so many ways you can make this shape. They are quite visually distinctive when you have the two of them. And I would say, you know, the design on them is equally impressive, but I will give HTC the edge because it's a more elegant design. That's come as a result of, you know, being lighter, being slightly smaller, but that does come at a cost, and that's that it doesn't have kind of some of the hardware features to match the Nokia device. And maybe we should talk about some of those now, because HTC have kind of pushed in two areas, really, haven't they? You're in audio and camera, and I know audio is an area that you looked at quite closely.
It's I looked at audio quite closely. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we hooked it. Actually, that's not fair. Hooked it up to the Audacity and have a look at the spectrum and everything. HTC Beats Audio. It's on or it's off, which actually makes it very easy to do a comparison. The idea is that Beats Audio will shape your music. It will listen to the music that you're listening to. It will decide what's important and what's not. It will boost what's important and it will diminish what's not. Now, I have a couple of problems with this approach. The first one is, that's what a sound engineer in the studio is for. What does HTC know that, you know, a sound engineer on something like Sgt. Pepper doesn't know? What does he know? What does Beats Audio know that's more than the person who did the mixing for Dark Side of the Moon know? You know, what does this person know that Jeff Wayne didn't when he was making H.G. Wells' musical version of The War of the Worlds? So this assumption that music can be made better than it was made, that's the first issue that I have. I understand that there are circumstances where you need to play around with the graphic equalizer. You know, differences in headphones when using very small headphone speakers compared to complete over-the-ear can headphones, that you do want to have a slight fiddle. And that's where something like the Dolby equalizer that you have on the Lumia 920 is very useful. Beats Audio isn't that. It's on or it's off. And from what I can tell by looking at it, when you switch on Beats Audio, the high tones are boosted, the low tones are boosted in terms of amplitude and wave, and the mid tones are squelched very slightly because of the compression effect to try and get that. If anybody's aware of the loudness wars that have happened in music since the 1980s, you know, just generally bringing up the amplification even more, so you have less peaks and troughs, and the average of the wave is much higher. This is what Beats Audio is doing, is adding another couple of notches onto the loudness war. And you know, when I was 16 and 17, I may have really appreciated the more bass efforts. You know, nowadays I'm just going, no, I want to hear the alarm chimes. I want to hear the clocks, you know. It's all dark. For me, HTC have found something that works very well in marketing. It plays very well with the younger demographic, but doesn't actually offer any tangible business difference. If they just made the volume go up to 33 on the handset instead of 30, then it would not have been three times better than Spinal Tap, but it would have replicated what Beats Audio does to me. To me, Beats Audio is cute, but worthless.
Yeah, I think I would have to chime with that. I'm not in the target audience for something like Beats. And honestly, as I was listening to it, I turned it off and I preferred that experience. But I think it's a very powerful marketing tool. The other thing to talk about in the audio department is the extra amps that, you know, HTC have placed in this device. And there's one for both the loudspeaker and the 3.5mm audio jack. Now, you know, they talk about putting that in there and upping the voltage, meaning you can power external speakers. We saw some evidence of that in testing, but I'm not sure how much, and we have to do a bit more. You know, we didn't come across it as a major factor. But
we didn't even come across it as a minor factor, Rafe. There is a very slight difference. I mean, I've got a set of external speakers here that don't have any, you know, battery-powered amplifiers on them. And there's a slight difference. There's a very, very slight difference. If I focus really hard, then it's obvious. You know, you actually get more volume through the speakers if you turn Beats Audio on, because it's changing the waveform. It's bringing up the waveform. And I know that HTC have talked more about, we're giving you more voltage. We're giving you more voltage. Well, yeah, but that just means that you're probably giving us slightly less amperage to get the same power.
Yeah, so we're a bit skeptical about that. Putting in an extra amp component may have an impact on quality. And I will say, I thought the 8X sounded better in audio terms than some of the preceding HTC devices. And so, okay, that's a good thing. It's obviously going to face comparison with other devices. I'm not sure there's all that much to pick out between the various leading smartphones, unless you're an audiophile, in which case you probably will have a preference. And I suspect Nokia probably still just has an edge here. Certainly the difference between the 900 and the 920 was very noticeable because Nokia started using higher quality components, which they source from their kind of own supply chains. HTC have done something similar, and there's a step up as well. but I don't think there's really a lot to pick between them. And I suspect that kind of the Dolby approach to, you know, putting an extra bit of adjustment into the music will be more popular than Beats and kind of the older demographic, and as you say, Beats for the younger demographic. But that probably matches with this phone, because it does feel like HTC is targeting maybe the younger market with this device. We'll come back to that. But I also wanted to touch on the camera, and there's, you know, I've used this a bit, Euron, I know you were taking some test shots as well. You know, it's a good camera phone, isn't it?
It is a good camera phone. And what I liked about this was the fact that it's much more natural in terms of stuff like white balance. And I think that's the one that I spotted off straight away. I'm not someone who can sit and play with camera settings. If you've got default settings on that, I'm going to use it. And if your default settings aren't that good, then my filters are going to make Steve and you, Rafe, look at me and go, what phone were you using? Yep. So, you know, it's important to me that the defaults work, because otherwise I'm out of it. And what I found with this was that whites looked white, reds looked red, grays looked gray. With the Lumias, you know, if I'm doing a quick snapshot, and this is the Lumia 800 and 900, I've not got the 920 or 820 yet. There was this yellowish tinge on them, as if they had been taken and then transported forward in time from the 1970s, where they would know who Dave Lee Travis is and not call him David. But you didn't have that with HTC. You took a picture and it looked like what I could see. And yes, you could fiddle around with the Lumia with the settings and the white balance and reset it when you're taking the picture. But if you've only got a couple of seconds to take a picture, you want to go out, squeeze the camera button, squeeze it again to take the picture and put it away again, and then the moment is gone forever. That's where smartphone camera photography is really, really useful. And in that sense, if I had to grab a camera to take a quick shot and it had to be a smartphone camera out of the Windows phones I have in front of me, I would be grabbing the HTC 8X here.
Yeah. Now, I have been comparing it with the 920, and I would say there's not a lot to choose between them in good lighting conditions. But the Lumia 920, thanks to its kind of onboard optical image stabilization, is significantly better there. So I would still say the 920 is the kind of camera phone of choice on Windows Phone. But what I will say about the 8X is it's right up there in kind of the chasing pack. I mean, Nokia has an advantage on its PureView handsets, and that's basically down to, you know, differentiation in the hardware. The rest of, you know, the smartphone camera phones are all using very similar hardware, you know, similar size, you know, sensors, backside illumination. You know, HTC actually does have an advantage in using a slightly lower F number, and so I would say it's, you know, ahead of the game in terms of low light conditions. But like you, and I was also impressed by things like the white balance and the color accuracy. You know, HTC has what they call the image chip on board, which is effectively an extra bit of silicon that acts as a co-processor when doing imaging tasks. And that does mean the performance of things like shot-to-shot time or manipulating images is very fast indeed, and it has an advantage there. So it has a couple of things that makes it stand out from the competition. The downside of this is I do feel that HTC tends to overprocess images captured through the camera. Now, in some senses, this is a good thing, because most people will only ever, you know, they'll take a picture with their phone, they won't do anything to it. And so kind of optimizing to get the best result for that scenario makes sense. But of course, once you start processing something automatically, you are going to lose information. And however clever, you know, these smartphones get, they can't always make a perfect decision on that processing. Nokia kind of tends to take the opposite approach in that it under-processing, it does actually vary from device to device. I'm talking about some of the recent devices here. And so you'll see in a Lumia 920 shot, and I think the best example is looking at these when in well-lit conditions, it can feel a little bit like it's got soft focus, whereas the HTC device, you know, feels like it's a bit sharp, a bit crisp, a bit more bounce to the image. And that's often because it's done some sharpening on the image and some extra processing. You can see that if you zoom into, you know, a pixel level, and on the HTC images will look, you know, somewhat artificial. Zoom out and actually you might say the HTC image looks better. Now, the Nokia images you can actually edit yourself and apply processing and get a very similar looking image. And I'd say, you know, a lot of this, you know, which one takes the best picture comes down to personal preferences on how you like your images processed, what color choices you like made, and all that kind of thing. It's quite a subjective area. I'll talk about that in the review so you can read more about it there. But overall, I would still rate the Lumia 920 above because of that extra video performance, which the 8X can't match, and also the low light performance. but I would be tempted to say the 8X is right up there in that kind of Samsung Galaxy Note 2, the iPhone 5, all that kind of second tier where it's all good enough and you can't really tell the difference. And it's a big step up from what we had before, even just a couple of years ago. So I think HTC have done a very good job on, you know, the back camera. The front camera they've also been talking about because it's got a wide angle lens. And it's true, you can fit extra detail in rather than having kind of a couple of people in the shot. You can have, you know, three or four when you're holding it at arm's length. But the quality of the camera doesn't really back that up. And so while it's fine for the odd Facebook shot, if you're doing any kind of serious photography, the quality just isn't there. Again, it's quite useful for doing voice calling. It's actually a better Skype camera than is on the Nokia 920. But I've noticed quite a few other manufacturers are introducing these wide angle lens, including actually knocking some of their 820 variants. So the 822 for Verizon and the 810 for T-Mobile actually have this wide angle lens in it. But credit to HTC for really being the first to introduce it on a Windows phone device. The other thing I think we should talk about briefly with the 8X, and we'll have to come back to this, I guess, on another podcast, because there's still more to talk about, is the software side of things, Ewan. And there is an obvious comparison to be drawn here with Windows phone, because there are other manufacturers out there. And what was your take here?
I mean, let's face it, there's two bits of software that we need to discuss. First is Windows Phone 8 as a whole, which we've covered in some detail and will continue to cover in some detail throughout both the Insight podcasts and the website as well. And then HTC's additional software suite as well. And this is one of Nokia's core strengths. And HTC have brought the same suite over that you would have seen on stuff like the HTC Trophy, the HTC Titan, and the HTC Titan 2. You've got their connection setup software, you have a converter application, you have the flashlight, you have the photo enhancer application, and you have the HTC application itself, which essentially is what gives you the live tone, that gives you the clock, that's almost like HTC's iconic branding going on. And that's it. None of these have really been accommodating for Windows Phone 8. The HTC application is probably the closest. It does use the Rafe. We call it the Windows Design Language now and not Metro.
That's right.
Yes, the Windows Design Language, calling it Metro and Temple Meads and so on, other train stations. But the other ones, just don't. Converter application just looks like any run-of-the-mill converter application that's just been thrown together to be single-screened. The flashlight is a flashlight with a picture of a flashlight on the screen in case you've forgotten what it does. But bonus points for the photo enhancer. This is probably one of the more useful applications that any of the handset manufacturers put out of the box. In conjunction, of course, with that strong focus that they have put on through imaging, the photo enhancer brings up the photo, puts all your filters along the top, and you can decide what effects to add onto your pictures. And I know that there are certain people in the whole world that think you shouldn't be applying filters. Photography is, but you know, the people who are doing this professionally and take pride in artistic pictures, fine, don't use filters. For everybody else who'd never be able to manage this sort of stuff through a camera lens, sort of people that 10 years ago weren't doing photography at all, leave us our filters. You know, if we want our stuff to look like a Polaroid and grainy film, we don't want to go on a 3-year course to learn how to do it with Kodachrome. We can just get an app to do it. And we realize that you can do that using your proper lenses and everything on your DSLRs, but we don't have them. We just have 4 seconds to hold it up, squeeze the button, and put it away again. So, yes, you know, adding in a filter called Cinnamon, for example, dead easy, call it the picture, do the stripe along the top, press Cinnamon. Okay, again, it's not a huge amount of Windows Design Language, but when you have filters such as Warm, Cold, Lively, and Twilight, which amazingly scrubs off half the picture and gives you a really bad ending to it when you think, really? That's how you're going to finish off the film series? These are all very good filters for the beginner, for the person who's just looking for something a bit different. And of course, you save off a copy, so you still have the original picture. But on the whole, HTC's focus on the outside has stayed on the outside. They haven't done anything at all revolutionary with Windows Phone 8. They haven't put their stamp on the device. You know, one of the reasons I think this has been chosen as a signature device is it is just Windows Phone 8. There's nothing else that's been added onto that. And I know Nokia do a lot of work there, and HTC are doing more work than Samsung have done, from what we've seen from the previews. But again, it's just like, here's Windows Phone 8, carry on. You know, and it's really strange here, Rafe, because we were brought up for so long to issue bloatware. You know, we don't want pre-installed applications on our PCs or on our smartphones. At least in Windows Phone 8, I can delete these applications. If I don't want connection set up, I can delete it. And it's actually deleted. It doesn't come up with a "you can't delete this, it has to stay" that you do get with bloatware. And I do find it a strange contrast that I'm expecting more from the manufacturers rather than the stock experience. Whereas when you look at Android devices, all you read is people wanting the stock experience, and they have to put up with whatever the hardware manufacturers put on. What a curious turn of events.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think it shows at how successful Nokia's software differentiation strategy has been. And I mean, just talking about HTC for a moment, it's a shame. I feel they put loads of attention to detail into the handset design and then sort of drop the ball a bit on some of their added software. Kind of a superficial example of this is the fact that all the icons for these HTC apps, you know, are graphics. They don't match the Microsoft design language. And so it's almost a jarring experience when you first go across to the app list. And what's that spot once you start installing third-party applications? But it's just something I thought maybe they could have fixed. And that's true within the apps as well. So themselves, you know, use the Microsoft design language, make it feel like a native application. You know, there's the whole debate around, you know, pseudomorphic design, and the Torch app is an example of that. I'm not a fan of it, and I certainly don't think you should do it if the rest of the platform is, you know, taking a different approach. But, you know, some credit to HTC. They have, you know, made more of an effort than Samsung and some of the other manufacturers here. If Nokia didn't exist, people were going, yeah, HTC is doing good work here. But Nokia does exist, and you're getting a mapping application that's much better. You're getting Drive, which is much better. And then a lot of other add-on applications as well, you know, Nokia Reading, Nokia Music. That's a really big deal. You're getting essentially as much free music on the handset as you like, you know, complementing kind of the Xbox Music approach. And there's also a lot of other, you know, apps and games on there, some of which we talked about earlier, both from, you know, third parties, but also from Nokia themselves. You know, they've got Play 2 that's coming in. That's actually not available for Windows Phone 8 yet. It's coming shortly, I understand. But it all adds up to a significant piece of extra value. I mean, I do think that the mapping element and the music elements are the big ones. Those are the things that people will really miss. And honestly, that's a justifiable reason why you'll buy a Nokia device rather than an HTC device, leaving everything else aside because they're, you know, they're really core functions. You know, you can install various third-party applications, you know, Navigon for Maps, for example, and there are various streaming music services. And Spotify, not yet available on Windows Phone 8, will be soon, but there are others as well. But I think it does become a problem for the other Windows Phone manufacturers, you know, because when you get a handset out of the box, it's got all this extra stuff in it. And as you said, it is curious. You know, you find people wanting that extra stuff so much compared to, you know, this usual experience of bundled software. But I guess it's the difference between software that's bundled and written by the manufacturer themselves versus software that's bundled from third parties. And on the Lumia 920, there's actually are a couple of these applications, like there's Red Bull, for example, and there's some other bits and pieces as well. And I kind of wanted to get rid of those because I'm not particularly interested. But yes, anything with Nokia in the front, generally, I'm quite happy to have that pre-installed. And as you say, there is still the option to remove it. So that kind of gives us a very quick overview of the 8X. But I guess the question people will be wanting us to answer is, you know, would you buy this rather than the Lumia 920? And I should preface this by saying I don't actually think these two handsets should be too concerned about one another. You know, their main competition is things like the iPhone or the Android handsets. But of course, people are going to measure them against each other, particularly inside the Windows Phone community. A lot of people, you know, would probably fit that label of listening to this podcast. So for you, you're an 8X or something like the 920?
Or something like the 920.
Or the 820, or the 8S.
Honestly, I don't think I can fully answer this until I've tried the other handsets to the extent that I've tried the 8X. One of the reasons that people are coming to us is that we do have the opportunity to experience all the handsets in great depth. So the actual core answer, I think, Rafe, has to go to you, because you're the only person who's had a go on pretty much all the Windows Phone 8 handsets out of the team. But I am still going to comment on this issue, nonetheless. you know, if I was deciding right now, I don't think I would decide on the 8X. That's not to say I've made my mind up on the 920, the 820, or even the 8FS at the moment. But the 8X does just fall short. And the thing is, we have to live, if when you're buying a handset, as you said earlier, you're living with it for 2 years. Now, I know this is a review handset, and I know that we have to be careful with them. But, you know, when you put one, when you try and do the twist test with both your hands on it, I never feel that I'm putting all my effort into it on the 8X and then stopping. You know, it's just like I chicken out. I've never had to do that with something like the Lumia 800, 900. The twisting effort, you know, I've always thought I can't twist anymore before I have to chicken out. So there's this certain feeling of fragility to the 8X. And I don't like that. I want to have a handset that I'm confident that it can be kicked around, dropped and fall and still be working. The old money in the jar Scion bloke in me looks at the coating on the 8X and go, that's exactly like the Scion Series 3X, 3C and 5. And it just peeled away after 6 months. I don't think that will happen with HTC X, but I just have a natural to this sort of soft feel brush coating that HTC have done. So from a tactile point of view, I'm not that appreciating the 8X as well. But I'm also conscious that these are very personal things and very small things. If someone was to say, you have to have the handset that we give you for 2 years, here's an HTC 8X, I'd be like, great, fantastic, without a hint of irony. But it's just that when you are, it's a very competitive market. It's got to sit next to the 920. And, you know, I look at the 920 and I think it's going to be quite a solid thing, but again, needs to have a go. I'm going to put it next to the 8FS. And, you know, again, that looks a little bit more solid. And of course, the 8FS, 23 milliamp hour battery. HTC 8X sports about 1860, Rafe?
1800, I think.
1800. I've given you an extra 60 milliamp hours. Aren't you a lucky smartphone? So, and again, you know, after 2 years, what's the battery life going to be like on a sealed unit like this? And so, right now, I think I want to have a look at the other two devices, Rafe. Hey, that's a surprise. But if I was choosing now, I don't think I would go with the 8X.
Yeah, as you say, this is a very subjective decision. My personal viewpoint on this is I would choose the Lumia 920, but that's because I'm looking for, you know, basically as much as I can pack into a device as possible. The 920 has the better camera, it has the better screen, and it has wireless charging. The result of all of that is that it does weigh a bit more. Well, actually, there's more reasons why it weighs more than that. Go and read our 920 review if you want to know about that. Why? But it you know, it's a far more substantial handset. You know, it's heavier. It feels much denser. And yes, that does have kind of implications of build quality and safety. I think it's a bit unfair to criticize the 8X too much around fragility when we haven't really done any torture tests on it. But I do know what Ewan means. It doesn't feel quite as solid in the hand. But I still think the 8X is a superior overall piece of styling and design to the 920. And so, you know, my preference would be for that with the 920 internals, kind of the screen and the camera and all of that. Of course, that's not possible. And the whole point about this is, of course, there is compromise in smartphone design. And, you know, you have to choose one or the other. Because I'm a power user, kind of my head makes me choose the 920. But Matt Miller, writing on ZDNX blog, actually described this as a choice between the head and the heart, with the heart being about the 8X, and that's really all the design, that stuff, you know. So said the feel in the hand, this almost feel of it's a piece of sculpture that you just want to, you know, pick up and turn over in your hand, is really very strong. And so what I would say about this is that if you're not bothered about having the very best camera and the very best screen, and are maybe willing to, you know, step back from having something that feels very solid in your hand, which I know a lot of people like, the 8X is the better choice. I would almost say it's, you know, going to be more approachable for the average user. And it is going to undercut when you're buying it SIM-free, it's about £100 cheaper. Sadly, when you're buying it on the networks, it looks like there's not going to be as much of a difference. It looks like the operators and Nokia giving their handset a bigger subsidy. And I think that's how most people buy. So HTC can't really claim an advantage there. But it is a remarkably nice device. And I think anyone who buying it would be very happy with it. So it's kind of a bit of a chicken answer, you know, giving both sides of it there. While, so personally, I would go for 920 because I want some of the extra things in it. You know, if I was recommending it to someone who's, you know, maybe less obsessive about being a power user or having the very latest features, the 8X makes a very strong claim indeed. I think, you know, by taking off a bit of the weight that the 920 has and making it more comfortable to hold in the hand, and it's a lot about size there, and I actually prefer the smaller screen size. I think it's too big on the 920. I'd rather have a screen that's, you know, 4.3 inches or below in my mobile phone. It's, again, personal preference. So it's almost as if these fit into two very different categories, with, you know, the 920 being kind of the big flagship device, and I think it competes directly with the 8FS, and I think it wins against the 8FS quite comfortably. But the 8X is almost a step down from that, and it's almost a close competitor to something like the Nokia Lumia 820, and it has an advantage there because of some of the extra, you know, specifications it has there. The cameras, the dual is a lot closer, probably give it to the 8X. The screen is better on the 8X because it's got a higher resolution, and actually the pricing, you know, kind of suggests that as well. So it's kind of interesting to see a device like the 822 and the 810 going up against the 8X on those US carriers, because I think that's a much closer battle. And, you know, that desire for having a slim, sleek design, you know, becomes, I think, more relevant in that particular market category. So we spent a long time talking about the 8X, and I think, you know, the fact that we've kind of almost had two faces to this reflects the fact that, you know, HTC have really stepped up to the plate here. You know, on their last set of Windows Phone devices, I think it was quite clear that Nokia was the choice to get. And honestly, because of the software differentiation, I think that remains true. But in terms of hardware, HTC have done an outstanding job. It can only be good for the Windows Phone ecosystem, because you've got two devices that are both, you know, very desirable and, you know, a really good example of what can be done with Windows Phone. And we'll talk more about software in a future podcast, but that's probably a good place to leave it off, Ewan.
I think so, yes, because otherwise I just go half into a huge mega rant about how the HTC 8X just reminds me of a Lancia Stratos. And then I would have to go into a long explanation to you, Rafe, of what the Lancia Stratos was.
Well, I know it's a car, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, that's why I thought we would have to not have to spend hours going on about the old Italian Ross bucket. So yes, that's the HTC 8X. We're going to be talking more about that and the other Windows Phone handsets that have come out running Windows Phone 8 over the next weeks and months on the podcast. We are going to have Steve, I believe, next week. Now he's had a go on the 920 with the camera.
We are.
Indeed. Next week, I shall be out and about and testing these in fields foreign, going on a little foreign trip over to Amsterdam, and we shall try some of the, probably the 8X actually, around the coffee houses of Amsterdam and see if I can just find it and leave it somewhere and see if it changes my mind in that sort of fog that you get over there. Rafe, what have you got planned for next week?
I'm going to be working hard on some reviews. We've got part two of the Lumia 920. We've also got some stuff on the 820 coming soon, as well as kind of a Windows Phone 8 software review. Don't think they'll all arrive in the next week, but there's going to be plenty of content on the site.
Indeed, yes. And one day you might get a part one review over 10,000 words, yes?
Well, we try not to go quite that big, but yes, we have been doing in-depth coverage, and it does take a while to produce. And obviously, in all of this, we actually like to use the handset for about a week before we start writing about it. So this is why it sometimes takes us a little while to get these reviews out. But hopefully that's reflected in kind of the quality of the information that we're putting across, and that is based on, you know, us using the devices rather than kind of writing off a spec sheet. And you know, it's maybe a different style of review to you'll find in other media.
Indeed, yes. My excuse is that I'm driving up to the keyboard in the Lancia Stratos, but there you go. Right then, I'm Ewan Spence. That was Rafe Blanford. Say goodbye, Rafe.
Goodbye, everybody.
No, say goodbye, Rafe.
Goodbye, Rafe.
There we go, and goodbye from you, and thank you all for listening. www.allaboutwindowsphone.com, and if you want to know where I'm getting my jokes for, Frank Carson is the answer. Catch you next week. Ta-ra for now.